Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman. Today I'm chatting with Jordan Braswell of Manic Knitting, and he specializes in textile art, specifically yarn work, looks like. Yeah. Welcome to the show, Brandon.
Thank you.
So I'll give everybody a visual. You are decked out in all of your handmade attire, and I must say you just look fabulous, and I was as fancy as you right now, and I'm not. So when did you, well, first of all, tell us exactly what you do.
Okay, what I do is a little confusing because I have no formal education with textile art, but it's mostly knitting, crochet, Tunisian crochet, weaving, a little sewing, some macrame. It keeps going.
It's really, like, it's incredible. So I've got to know, how old were you when you started all this?
Well, I started knitting when I was 16.
Oh,
like
really?
Yeah, so I was in my high school classes just knitting.
I'm imagining a small child, for some reason, being obsessed. When you were younger, though, like when you were really little, did you have any interest in...
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I'm a full-on nerd, so I was into dismantling all the appliances and putting them back together. Okay. I had my own microscope set. I was into all sorts of... like different types of artwork, and knitting is the one that just stuck with me.
Okay. So when you're 16, you start this adventure of knitting. And so how did it manifest?
Well, at the time I was at Cookeville High School. So the art program there let me do pottery, jewelry work, a little bit of metal work. I just got to try all sorts of stuff. And knitting is the thing that I just fell in love with because of all the color work we could do, all the different styles. And a really important component for me is people. Mm-hmm. Like, I just get to use people as my canvas because I can just paint them with all sorts of different colors, and I love it.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that. So what are some of your favorite tools to use when you're creating? I mean,
is it just here?
The sticks?
Yeah, right here. I have in the studio with me today, I have bamboo knitting needles with 100% cotton yarn, and I'm just making a nice summer t-shirt right now.
Oh, it's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So you have it on like a ring. Mm-hmm. Explain to me what that's all about.
Okay, I'm using circular knitting needles, but right now I'm only doing flat knitting garter stitch, so I don't have to have the circular knitting needles. They're just there for the length. It just lets me make something really, really wide.
Okay.
And there's no problem with it.
Okay, yeah. I gotcha. That makes sense. So you're making a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So how do you know, like, how big to make it when you're just kind of knitting it? Like, is there a pattern?
Well, there's this thing in yarn work called a gauge, which everyone should make a gauge. Do it. I know you don't want to, but you need to.
Okay. Well, tell us what a gauge is.
A gauge is a 4-inch by 4-inch square, and you make it to make sure you have the sizing for this particular pattern right. So you just make a little square. You count how many stitches are in the 4 inches. You count how many rows are in the 4 inches. And from there, you know the size. Like if you want to do 20 inches, you know how many stitches you need. If you want to do like 30 inches long, you know how many rows you need. So.
Do you ever screw up?
Oh, yeah.
And then what?
Well, then it goes into my craft show inventory and someone buys it.
So they just buy like a bunch of yarn, just kind of. They might just buy just a piece of it just because you did it.
One common thing that a lot of knitters do with their gauges is they'll keep them and they'll just have a giant box of little washcloths. And if you get enough of them, you can sew them together for a blanket, a couch throw, something like that.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Do you make blankets?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm working on one right now with a crochet entrelac, which is really fun.
Okay. And so you've been doing this since you were 16. Are you doing it professionally?
I started dabbling with it as a career about 7 years ago, and then I got involved with some local art chapters about 3-4 years ago. So I'd say about 4 years was when I started doing it professionally.
And so are you traveling, like doing shows?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your favorite shows to do?
Well, the biggest one I do annually is the Centennial Park Show in Nashville, hosted by Tennessee Craft.
Mm-hmm.
And they do one in the spring and one in the fall. And I've done the one in the fall the last 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's my favorite big one.
Yeah, that's a lot of crafters
Oh, there's a lot of us.
Yeah, like from all over the place. And it's mostly like handmade items. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, would you say there's as many paintings there, or do you find it's more things that people are like making?
There's a really good mixture of stuff. I'd say the number one thing that's most common is probably pottery. There's mm-hmm. That's the most represented artwork there, but there's anything. I mean, there's metal work, there's jewelry work. There's a guy last year who made amazing pins.
Yeah.
They're just beautiful.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Man, I love handmade stuff. I just love it. Coming up, we'll continue our discussion as the scene continues here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Susan DeMay of Made by DeMay Ceramics. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what is the creative process when you are working with slab? Just run me through that, like if you're making a piece.
Well, I look at architecture. I look at my friend's work. I look at other art forms, or I look at historical ceramics. Like there's a school of art and design called the Memphis style, and it's very contemporary, and it's rather asymmetrical, and it uses this bright colors, and it usually is focused on furniture being sculptural or glassworks being sculptural. So I look to that as a source of inspiration. I also like some of the things I see in steampunk, which is a kind of trend, and it incorporates nature and industrial aesthetics together. So I look to the outside world for inspiration in those types of wares.
And then how do you create what you're doing?
Well, I have a slab roller, which looks a little bit like a wringer washer. Not that maybe everybody knows mm-hmm. what that is,
yeah.
But it's two rollers, and you push a flat piece of clay through the rollers to get a perfectly even slab. And you can do the piece pretty large, and I usually do a very large piece, and my slab constructions are a little bit larger than the typical vessel shape and size. And then I use templates sometimes, or I wrap it around a roller, or I press it into a mold. And from there, I incorporate textures and various appendages.
Okay. And then you paint it?
Well, people have a misconception about how glazes are applied. I do very little painting of glazes. I do mostly, like, for the inside, I'll pour in a large cupful and swirl it around and then pour it out, covering the whole interior. And then the outside might be dipped if the bucket is big enough, or it might be splashed, or it might be poured, and then maybe some of the details are brushed. But on my production wares, most of those designs are created through pouring and wax resist. Mm. So I'll do a glaze background, do a wax pattern on top of it, and then do a second glaze over that. That's how the flowers are done, and that's how the trees are done in my landscape.
I always thought it was brushwork. See?
Yeah, no, really, it's very little brushwork.
Mm. It's interesting.
With brushwork, you don't get a nice even coat.
Mm.
You see the splotchiness of the brush strokes.
Gotcha.
With pouring, you get a nice even coat.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Well, we appreciate you coming out today. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I'd love to hear your story and get to know you better. So thank you so much.
All right, my pleasure.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman. Today I'm chatting with Jordan Braswell of Manic Knitting,
mm-hmm.
and he specializes in textile art. How would you brand your style of clothing that you make?
Well, I try to study all sorts of different styles. I have a ton of costume design books at home, mostly sewing, but I just love reading about the styles. But my own aesthetic always comes out more towards hippie and folk attire,
mm-hmm.
like a whole lot of folk attire from, like, you know, medieval to Renaissance Europe, that kind of thing. Just the construction patterns, my sweaters and you know, socks and everything kind of go along with that.
I can totally see that. You know, when you said it, it all kind of came together just looking at you. And yeah, it just all kind of was like...
That's just my favorite word.
I started hearing like flute music in my head and all kinds of...
Right now, I'm reading a pattern for an elf coat, which is just a giant work that someone else made the pattern. So I'll be working from that, but it's going to take like a month to make. The thing's huge. It's got a giant hood that goes way out here.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So what are you going to, try and sell that, or is it for you?
This one's probably for me.
Yeah.
Most things I make are for commissions or experiments to get the size for a commission right. Mm-hmm. And then they just go to craft fair. But every once in a while I make something for myself.
Yeah, for sure. Well, like right now, because you're wearing stuff, so you mm-hmm. made that for yourself.
Yeah, I finished this yesterday. Oh. It's right now I have my isolation series going, and this is the it's the second piece in that, and it's all cotton. Most of it's lace, you know.
This whole isolation thing, though, it's kind of funny for artists because we're like, what isolation is this, how we live every day of our life?
Yeah, the only difference is, like, I don't see my friends for my morning coffee. And that's it.
Yeah, yeah. This is nothing out of the ordinary for me.
Yeah.
Totally not having any trouble adjusting to it. Kind of enjoying not having to obligate to anything at the moment. And so what you're wearing right now, would you call this like a shawl? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. This is a just a granny triangle shawl. So if anyone's seen a granny square before, it's that, except it's just half of it. It's a triangle.
And it, so the colors on it are really cool. They're very like spring inspired.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. I'm just really into a spring mood. I want the cold to go away. Like I'm loving all the green that's starting to sprout out right now. It's really nice.
Yeah, you should do like a rain series because we've seen nothing but rain.
Yes, there's been so much rain.
I saw a meme online and had me just like in tears. It was like, and to think it only rained twice this winter, once for 35 days and another for 45.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
About lost it. Okay. On to art questions again. What are some of your favorite creations and why?
Well, the way I work, most of my pieces are one of a kind. So when I think of my favorite works, I always think of my favorite patterns instead of the actual individual pieces, because the patterns I can go to again and again and make little changes, so the outcome's different. My favorite pattern is my edition sweater, which is just a bunch of squares and rectangles sewn together. So with a construction that's that simple, there's like no shaping, no nothing like that, it's really easy to just add whatever I want. Pockets, sizing, you know, add textured stitches, all sorts of stuff like that.
What about like your, when you do colors, do you take into consideration like color theory?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just curious, because it's important.
It certainly is.
Did you learn that the hard way?
Well, yeah, it's most of this is self-taught. So when I get into color theory, I've used a bunch of different apps for just analyzing the color codes on things, the like hex codes or whatever that is. And I just try to get into it, and I buy giant art books that's just all color sequencing.
Yeah.
Just try to read through that.
I do that with my paintings. I go to Pinterest a lot, and I'll look at just like color combinations, like. Mm-hmm. For like interior design or whatever, just for different paint colors, just to see like what goes really well together. Man, it makes a huge difference. More of our conversation is coming up on the scene here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome to the scene presented by the Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman. And today we're chatting with Bryce McDonald, the producing director and CEO of the Cumberland County Playhouse. And I'm actually here at the Cumberland County Playhouse. And I have Bryce with me today. Hi, Bryce. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. So I want to talk to you about how you got your start in theater. And then we'll touch base on how you got to where you are now.
Well, I grew up in Overton County. So this is home for me. And I am the baby of three, and my older brothers were a football star and a basketball star, and I like to sing and dance in the front yard. So I got involved in church plays and school stuff and thought, this is what I want to do, but how in the world am I going to do it here in Tennessee? And in the fourth grade, I took a school trip to come see Annie here at the Cumberland County Playhouse. I could still tell you the seat that I sat in that theater, and it changed my life. I found my tribe. I found people that I just felt like this is where I fit in. I don't really fit in anywhere else, but I feel at home here. So I made it my goal to do everything I could to get here. So I saw every show possibly. I drove my parents crazy to bring me here. I begged when I was able to drive at 16 that this is the only place I wanted to drive to. I wouldn't have to ride the bus. I would ride the bus to school if I could drive on the weekends to see shows. And then at 18, I kept pushing and pushing to get in here, and I got an internship audition, and they were kind enough to cast me in a show, and I started dancing for the company. I was a tumbler. I could do gymnastics when I was younger, so there was a need for that in a couple of productions, so that was kind of my in. And I met Abby Crabtree, who was the former, one of the directors and former artistic director here at the Playhouse. And she took a liking to me and brought me in, and I started doing shows, and then I stayed for 10 years and had the best possible training you could ever have, because it was immediate and hands-on. It wasn't in a book. It wasn't like, well, here's what could happen. It was like, oh, it's happening. You better be able to fix it. And I went on from performing to stage management, assisting the producer, because I took a real – I started doing stage management because I got hurt in a show, and I couldn't do the show anymore, but I could assist backstage, and I fell in love with that and thought, I don't really want to perform anymore. This is where I want to do. And from that management, the producing director said, I need an assistant. Why don't you come and do some of that stuff with me? And I said, sure, and jumped in and just fell in love with it and was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be behind the scenes to create the art that changes lives, because it changed my life. And so my rule of thumb is that in every audience, there is another Bryce. There's another fourth grader waiting to find that tribe, waiting to find someone to say, I get you, and I can bring you in. And so that's kind of, you know, I spent 10 years here from 18 until 29, living the best life, going through all the emotions you go through in that those 20s, learning so much, and decided I wanted to move to New York and spread my wings and give it a try. And so I moved to New York with $2,000 in my pocket and a U-Haul full of stuff, and subletted an apartment from a friend, and was blessed enough with what I had learned here and made the right connections. I spent 10 years in New York working on Broadway and off-Broadway as a stage manager. If you would have told fourth grade me that I would be at the Tony Awards because a show I was working on was nominated, I would have told you I was crazy. But I was fortunate enough that that happened to me 3 times, and met some of the best friends of my life while working here. And then the producing director at the time, Jim Crabtree, who was a mentor and a father figure to me, said, I'm ready to think about my retirement. I want to put you and a team into place to suggest to the board, and I would love for you to come home. Will you give up New York and come home? And I said, without a doubt.
Wow, that's really amazing. Well, thank you so much, Bryce, producing director and CEO of the Cumberland County Playhouse. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman. Today I'm chatting with Jordan Braswell of Manic Knitting, and he specializes in textile art. In general, what's the step-by-step process in creating one of your pieces? Run me through like a quilt. I'm fascinated with quilts.
I love quilts. There was a quilt show at the Cookeville History Museum a couple months back, which was just amazing. But for most of my work, it's just a rolling process, just continuous. Like today, when I go to work, I'm going to be reading a costume design book written back in 1911.
Okay.
So it's just an everyday process that never ends.
Yeah.
So if I want to make a piece from scratch, I will consider what techniques I'm looking at the moment. And I'll make some designs, take a few days for just sketching out designs and choosing colors, and then I will start the process. And for a quilt, you know, those take longer than just a knitted sweater usually.
Yeah.
So for those, color and line work is more important for me than it is when I'm knitting or crocheting something. So it could take maybe a week to design, get a bearing, and start, and then maybe a month to have something that, you know, looks good.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, for some pieces. But since it's a rolling process, that would just be the very long, well-planned work of art.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes I just pop out a piece of craft work just because I happen to be awake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could just make a hat in a day sometimes just because I happen to be inspired by something.
Or you happen to be doing a radio interview and you're knitting the entire time.
Yeah, it just happens.
He's got his knit work here. I walk in to meet him and he's knitting. It's amazing. Okay, so how do you know when the quilt is finished?
That's usually part of the design process itself, making out the sketches. You try to get the measurements that you want to shoot for before you ever start. Like, that goes back to the whole gauge work with knitting, is that you want to make the dimensions a goal before you ever start actually making the piece, hopefully. Sometimes, like with the shirt I'm making, I'm just free-forming it right now. I'm shooting for 20 inches wide and maybe about 30 inches long. So we'll see what happens.
Is this for you?
Yeah, this is for me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So,
do you make most of your clothes?
That's where I'm headed. That's what I want to do. But
can't make pants out of this, can you?
Oh, yeah. I have crocheted pants.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. I have crocheted pants. And
crocheted pants, crochet socks. You can make like a big crochet like onesie.
I really want to. I want to so bad.
When I said that, you're like, your eyes lit up and you're like, it's already in the works, missus.
I have patterns. I do.
What color will it be?
Oh, I usually go for variegated colors.
Yeah.
Anytime I do work with solid colors, it's always some sort of intarsia or some sort of insignia cross-stitched into it. Like, I don't ever just make a solid color piece.
Are these pieces comfortable to wear, like the pants?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can just feel the cotton yarn I'm working with today.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's very good. I do work with a wide variety of yarns and fabrics. So some of the stuff I make is really coarse and dense, mm-hmm. but that's outerwear.
Okay.
Like really thick winter gloves.
Yeah.
You wouldn't really put them on your bare skin. You would have like some sort of cotton gloves inside them.
Yeah. Yeah. But they would keep you pretty warm though, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
Does that hat you're wearing, does that keep your head real warm?
Nope, this is cotton. Okay. I'm really warm natured, so a lot of stuff I make for myself is cotton.
Okay.
So this hat took, this hat probably took like 5 hours to make. So, cotton.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
So have you thought about branching out and putting your stuff in stores?
I would like to. There's several consignment stores in town, and doing work with a brick and mortar place would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have my own Etsy shop, and most of my work is through art shows and pop-up shows and that kind of thing. But I do ask around town every once in a while. When a new business comes in, I'll talk to them about it, see if we can get some of the artwork from myself or from the Plateau chapter in there.
Nice.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. We need more art around town. So you have an Etsy shop. What's that Etsy shop called?
Manic Knits. So all my social media, I try to brand with Manic Knits. You can find me on Facebook that way,
okay.
Instagram. I think I have a Twitter. I haven't been on in a while.
I have one somewhere in the archives.
Yeah, it's still somewhere in there.
Never go on it much, like ever. I think I went on that one time I signed up for it.
I mostly use Twitter just to get news from, you know, other artists I like, celebrities, people I'm interested in, see what they're doing.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. So that's how we can find you online. And then what's the next big art show that you have coming up? Is it Centennial?
Well, I've had 4 shows canceled this season so far.
Nice.
So it looks like the next one I'm doing will be the Made Here Market with the Biz Foundry.
Okay.
Whenever they reschedule, because they have canceled their current date.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll be in June.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
that would be good, because hopefully it won't be too hot.
Yeah.
And we'll survive out there, since you're warm natured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And last year I did a little sunburn at the Made Here Market.
Did you?
Yeah, it was pretty hot.
I heard it was fantastic. I didn't.
I couldn't believe how well it went for just the first time.
Yeah.
Just for a show happening the first time, that was outstanding.
They really, you know, they got excellent marketing over there. Tiffany Anton and Ashley, they do really well at getting the word out. So we're in good hands with them. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming out to the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you for having me.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Justin Hurst of Journeyman Marble Works. That kind of rhymes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Thank you so much for coming out and interviewing with us. So you specialize in blown glass marbles. Is that how you would describe it, or would you describe it differently?
It's borosilicate lamp working, but it's still a form of glass blowing.
All right. It's so you brought some here today to the studio, and I'm absolutely amazed with these. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before. They're incredibly beautiful. They are marbles, but then like with blown glass designs inside, and they're fantastic. You even have a kaleidoscope here, which is I don't know how other to describe it than absolutely mind-blowing. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
When did you get a start working with glass? Where did that happen?
Kind of led into, originally I was a machinist, and that's where the Journeyman name came from, but it started about eight or nine years ago. I would just play with a little hothead torch and just melt little broken pieces of glass that I found and did little beads and stuff on arc welding rods, and it stuck with me.
Did you receive training anywhere? Did you have like an apprentice? No, you just were like, I'm going to get things really hot and make shapes with them and things like that?
Yeah, originally I was a journeyman machinist, and I paid my way through trade school at 16. And by the time I was about 21, I had an ex-fiance put me about 30 grand in debt.
Uh-oh.
Lost everything, homeless for a little while, and it just completely changed my perspective on the world.
Yeah.
So...
So you're like, now I'm just going to be an artist and do what I want to do.
Yeah, it was just something I was doing in spare time. And once I started getting to the point of where I was comfortable selling some of it, then I just went with it. And I've been doing that mostly full time for about 8 years now.
How can I find your work if I want to get something online from you? Where would I go?
I have a website that's Journeyman Marble Works with an X, and that's .com. And then I have a Facebook page and an Instagram page.
Awesome. Are you going to look into selling in any other online avenues, or does Instagram and Facebook work pretty well for you?
I'll pretty much just keep it at that.
Yeah.
And I have the page just to help with sales, because mm-hmm. taking care of Grandpa is a full-time job as it is.
Well, good. Good for you. These marbles would add some serious value to your life if you purchase one of these. They're absolutely gorgeous. And every time you look at them, you see something new, and they have a lot of dimension and depth, and they're just like my mind is blown. They're wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Justin. I appreciate you coming out today.
Appreciation's appreciated.